You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's The Real Housewives of Miami After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of Miami After Show. Miami.
South Beach, bring the heat. Can y'all feel that? Can y'all feel that?
All right. Good evening, everybody. Being is for doing. And tonight I'm here solo dolo bringing you another AfterBuzz TV after show. This is Real Housewives of Miami, Season 3, Episode 9, Birkin Buddies. And I am your host, Michelle Renee. So as I just mentioned, I'm here alone tonight because unfortunately Brooke could not be with me. But it's okay. I'm going to do a quick little recap, give you guys my thoughts on the episode, and next week Brooke will be back and we're going to discuss the episode in its entirety. Okay, so with that being said, let's jump right into it. This episode for me, I give it maybe like a 7 or 8 out of 10, which I feel like I give every episode week to week a 7 to 8 out of 10. But anyway, I like this episode because it had some, you know, really deep issues, especially dealing with Roman and his childhood. We'll get into that a little bit later. But I think we've seen that a lot in this season of Real Housewives in Miami. The producers pair, you know, the typical housewives drama, the fights, the, you know, cattiness with serious issues like fertility with Lisa and Lenny, obviously not being able to have a child, you know, past family issues with Alexia and her husband, who was obviously a convict and had to go to jail for a few years. And now we see, you know, this playful, jovial issue with Roman and Joanna not being able to have sex, and we discover that there's really something deeper to it. So with that being said, of course, the episode, like many of the other episodes we've seen, opens with Roman and Joanna. They're in the kitchen, you know, and we see this calendar that Joanna has filled, you know, every day with sex, 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 sex. And the relationship therapist told them to pick just one day out of the week, but she goes overboard and, of course, wants to have at it every day of the week. Typical Joanna. So at first thought, I'm thinking, you know, I'm really over this issue with them and discussing their sex life or lack thereof. We've seen it in probably 5 episodes now, 5 of 9. And at this point, I think it's just, well, at the beginning of the episode, I'm thinking at this point, you know, they just need to figure it out and deal with it. But as a viewer, I'm kind of tired of seeing it, especially because it looks like there's no resolution in sight. He doesn't want to do it. She wants to do it. That's for them to figure out. That's how I felt at the beginning of the episode. But then, of course, we see a really, really, really touching moment that literally had me in tears as I was watching the show. It's when they go to see their sex therapist, and she really does a great job, as a therapist should, by not only, you know, having her clients talk about the problem, but she also has them, you know, really dig deeper so they can identify what the problem is. And of course, in this instant, we see that Roman, you know, had a really difficult childhood. His parents broke up. He went to go live with his father, and he doesn't really know why that was. He just ended up with his father. He can't get a clear explanation from his family as to why he lives with his father. And he had 2 stepmothers, but the first one was really a witch, to put it lightly. She abused him physically. I'm going to go ahead and guess also probably emotionally and mentally as well. And he says that she even, you know, went as far as to making his brother eat vomit, you know, from a plate. I guess he had probably gotten sick while he was eating dinner, and his stepmother made him, you know, eat his own vomit, which that is just, it's awful. And Joanna, you know, she's in the confession and she breaks down, obviously, and she talks about how no child should have to endure that. And I agree. And, you know, we talk a lot of, you know, trash about Roman and his infidelity, and maybe he's not faithful, maybe he is. But now seeing that he, you know, did have such a rough childhood and never had that mother figure there, it can maybe lead to, you know, an explanation as to why he is seeing other women, if he is. Not saying that it's right, but that would definitely be an explanation as to why he would feel the need to always be longing for a woman to, you know, nurture him and take care of him. With that being said, I think that he and Joanna should have probably seen a therapist a while ago. Because, you know, they identified the fact that he is looking for someone nurturing, but as we all know, that's not really Joanna's character. She's, you know, a strong, independent woman. And I have to question, will she ever be able to, you know, take a step back and be more of a caring, nurturing, you know, feminine woman that he needs? Hopefully she is going to be able to do that, because, you know, they are married now, and it's not just them being boyfriend, girlfriend, or fiance. You know, they're married, so they're going to have to make it work, and I guess only time will tell if they can. But Roman, I'm sorry to hear that your childhood was so bad. Moving on, Adriana's wedding is another, you know, hot topic this episode, because she sends her invitation via Evite. Okay. Number one, you know, I know that we're in the technology age, obviously, you know, people send emails now instead of regular, you know, cards or letters in the mail. But for something like a wedding invitation, especially when you're putting on this fancy, ritzy wedding like Adriana is, you want to have the invitation match the actual wedding, and also the invitation match who you are as a person. You know, we've mentioned several times that Adriana is very worldly. She's very cosmopolitan. She's an educated woman. Frederick, he's also educated. So for them to do that, it did kind of throw me off a little bit. And I definitely think that that was a no-no. But maybe the reason they did it is because the invitation was so long. Like, if they would have sent that in the physical mail, it would have been a booklet worth of, like, pages and examples of what you can and cannot wear and descriptions of what love is and what white represents. It was just a lot. I think, you know, it could have been done in a single one-page invitation in the mail. But, hey, it's not my wedding, right? Also, the question, of course, comes up whether or not she's doing too much and going over the top with requiring her wedding guest to change outfits into a Great Gatsby 20s prohibition themed costume. Now, I am one for, you know, I'm all for a theme party. I love any excuse to get dressed up, you know, step into a different time period. It's fun and it's playful. But I do agree that it's kind of a lot to ask of your guests. If they would have had to come to the wedding in Great Gatsby theme, that would be one thing. But for them to have to come in white and then change, I mean, you're essentially maybe asking people to have to go out and buy two outfits, and then also to have to worry about how they're going to, you know, come with their luggage. And it just, to me, seems like it's more of a hassle for her, you know, not only the guests, but it's also a hassle for her because she's going to have to figure out the logistics of it. Where are they going to change? What are they going to do with their suitcases? A lot of these people are probably going to be getting dropped off at the wedding by drivers in limousines, whatever. So where are they going to put those suitcases? You know, obviously it's going to cost her more money to rent out the presidential suite. So, I mean, maybe she's really set on this idea of the 20s theme and that's why she doesn't care. But it seems like that the cons definitely outweigh the pros in this situation, because her party guests are going to be inconvenienced and she's going to have to spend a lot more money to try to make this whole changing of the outfit thing work. But we see later in the episode that Marisol, of all people, who definitely, you know, isn't really the most combative and can't really persuade people, I don't think, tries to convince her that it's not a good idea. And that does not go very far. Adriana's pretty much like, it's my wedding. I'm going to do what I want to do. I know I'm bringing a bridezilla, but if you don't like it, oh well. Which is exactly what I think she should have done. At the end of the day, it's her wedding. She's going to have it how she wants to have it. And, you know, she's entitled to that. This is her one special day, even though she's been married two other times and has legally been married for 5 years. But this is her one special day, and she's going to have it how she wants to be. Go to iTunes and rate and comment the Real Housewives of Miami After Show. Tell us what you – well, tell me this week what you think. If you have any opinion on whether or not an Evite via email is classy or tacky. Also, your thoughts on Roman's childhood, what you think about our show, any questions you have for me or Brooke. While you're there, of course, rate and comment, give us 5 stars, and also check out The Adventures of Serial Buddies, which is a film that was produced by Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro. They are the founders of AfterBuzzTV.com. You can purchase that movie on iTunes, also at Blockbuster, 7-Eleven, and Target. And, of course, that's going to help us here at AfterBuzz do what we do and bring you the lovely content that you have every week. So definitely check that out. All right. So moving in to my last quick point, Alexia's B-Day. Okay. So she turns, I think, 44 or either 43 or 44. I looked it up last week and she's in her mid-40s. Let's just leave it at that. We see her on her birthday. She goes and Marisol brings her a gift. And she has on this really cute harness that I just want to speak on really quickly. Hands down, she is by far not only the best dressed housewife on Miami, but also the best dressed, one of the best dressed housewives in like Real Housewives franchise, you know, history. I think she maybe has a stylist or maybe she just has a unique sense of style, but the things she wears, they look great and they definitely look great on her. So that harness, thumbs up, Alexia. That was, you know, definitely a hit in my book. Her and Marisol, you know, they quickly discuss the fact that Leah didn't reach out to her mom when her mom was in the hospital. And, you know, Alexia lets her know, well, Leah's going to be at my party, so I'm sure you'll see her there, which, you know, of course, dramatic irony for us. We know that, of course, the birthday party, there's going to be some drama that goes down. We also saw the previews from last week into this week. So that's why we know there's going to be drama. Alexia then the next day goes to Leah's and Leah gives her a birthday gift, which is the most like, you know, Leah pretty essentially gives us an infomercial for her skincare product while she's trying to, you know, give Alexia a gift. If you own your own company, I don't know, maybe you can give someone one of your products in addition to something else, but to just give them one of your products that you pulled off of like a warehouse shelf for free, you know, it's kind of in poor taste, I think. And also to just pretty much try to sell your product and just use their birthday as an excuse to get your name out there. I don't think that was a good move. And Alexia obviously didn't either, because she calls Leah out in the confessional and she's like, yeah, she's trying to use my birthday to sell her products. I don't appreciate it. But I guess, you know, a gift, even though it was free from Leah's warehouse, is better than no gift at all. And I mean, Leah's skin does look pretty good. I'm interested in using the products, so I don't hate it. I doubt that Alexia will use them, though. I mean, she looks very good for her age as well. And so I can imagine that she already has some products she's been using over the years and probably re-gifted Leah's gift. But anyway, moving on to, of course, the birthday party, which is where all the drama goes down. You know, Marisol essentially confronts Leah, and she went into the party with a chip on her shoulder. You know, we knew it was coming. And I don't know if this is a... Marisol's been a little weird to me in these last couple episodes. She's been making jokes, and I don't know if she's, like, on something. Like, legitimately, I'm not trying to be funny, but I don't know if she's on something or if she's, you know, just trying to stay relevant or trying to be funny. But I think this whole incident at the party was definitely another one of those examples of her trying to stay relevant and her kind of acting a little out of character for her to not only confront Leah, but also to grab Leah's arm when Leah tried to walk away. You know, that's not the Marisol we saw 2 seasons ago. And I guess she realizes that she has to do whatever she can if she wants to stay part of this cast. And unfortunately, that means you have to bring the drama. And this season, we see her drama revolves around the fact that her mother was in the hospital. Now, I think something interesting for me was the fact that her mother fell versus whether or not her mother had a stroke. I never heard the mention of a stroke until this episode. All I know is that her mother fell and had injured herself. And Lisa even says the same thing. She says, well, you never told us she had a stroke. Leah also is saying, I didn't know she had a stroke. I only thought she fell. And Marisol is saying, no, she had a stroke. I don't think that Marisol would lie about it just because that would be an awful thing to lie about, to lie on your mother's health and say that she had a stroke when she didn't. But at the same time, she may have been trying to keep it under the radar and kind of act like the situation was better than it was. And in doing so, she may have hidden the fact that that Mama Elsa had actually had a stroke. So she may have been telling people that Mama Elsa just fell when in actuality she really had a stroke. And then all of a sudden she wants to blame Leah for not having addressed the fact that her mother had a stroke. So I'm definitely on team Leah in this instant. I think that there's a time and place for everything. And Marisol, you know, says to her, well, why didn't you talk to me about it? Why aren't you talking to me about it? When they have their second little run-in, when Lisa and Leah are at the elevator, Marisol comes up and she's like, why aren't you talking to me about it? If Marisol legitimately wanted to talk to Leah about it, she should have done so, not at a party. But of course, in typical Housewives fashion, they don't really, you know, do things in the best timing or the best places. And like Lisa said, I think it's a lose-lose for Leah. If she would have sent flowers, cards, all of that, then Marisol would have, you know, attacked her for that. If she didn't send the things, then Marisol is going to attack her for that. Unfortunately, it's really sad, but Marisol is using her mother's illness as an excuse to act out against Leah and to kind of make her out to be the villain in this case. I know that Leah Black is a very influential woman in Miami, and especially considering the fact that she had a relationship in the past with Mama Elsa, I really don't think she would purposely try to ignore the fact that she obviously was in the hospital and could have died. So with that being said, like I said, next week, Brooke is going to be back. We will definitely touch on this episode a little bit more because there's tons of other things that I didn't really go in depth with. For instance, the vitamin therapy that they got, or even the Birkin bag, which after all, the episode is called Birkin Buddies. So we can definitely talk about that next week. Let's get into some predictions really quickly.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. So I have just one prediction for next week that the previews for next week make it seem like Adriana is super, super, super late to her wedding. And I think it's personally just them, you know, trying to add suspense. I don't really think she's going to be as late as they predict. I think that despite the guests being a little bit annoyed with the fact that they have to change clothes, I think they're going to have a great time. And I think overall it's going to be a great wedding. Of course, we won't know how great until we see Joanna's wedding a few episodes from now, when we can really compare and contrast the two. Anyway, so that just about does it for my predictions. Thanks for tuning in to my really quick little recap of The Real Housewives of Miami, Season 3, Episode 9, Birkin Buddies. I'm Michelle. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Michelle Renee LA.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.